Do we think of computing as a global profession when we develop new software systems? Do we think of ourselves as being one with our fellow workers in India, in Russia, in China, even in the distant regions of Burkina Faso? Hi, this is David Alan Greer for the Errant Hashtag. Today's episode is entitled, The Global Profession. When the email arrived, I could easily recall the day that I met its sender, Maya, at a student conference in India. The day had been pleasant, with a low December sun and a breeze that mixed the smell of cooking spices with the odor of automotive exhaust. Maya, together with some two or three dozen of her colleagues, had gathered with me in an empty classroom to talk about the global nature of computing and the roles that they might play in the computing and software industries. Maya's email, which I received some 2 years after that event, continued that conversation with questions about what she should study in a graduate school and how she might prepare for her career. Academic advice is easy to give, but that advice too often tells the student to follow the path that we have trod, or perhaps in the best of worlds, to do the things that we would like to have done. To be useful, we really need to understand the nature of the advisee and the world in which they would like to work. Even with this understanding, we can usually offer only the simplest of guidance. The Indian software industry is an extraordinary industrial sector. It began in the 1960s when the country aspired to be the leader of what we call the non-aligned nations, countries that were attempting to build their economies without taking sides in the Cold War. During the 1970s, India started coding software for American and European firms. It was the kind of programming work that we now call back-end development. However, the Indian software industry truly began to grow in the 90s, when it provided much of the labor to correct the problem that we called the Y2K bug, the problem that was caused by the common 20th century practice of representing dates only with two decimal digits for the year and assuming that these digits would be preceded by the number 19. The Y2K problem shone an international spotlight on the Indian software companies, explained Subramaniam Ramadurai, the former CTO of Indian-based Tata Consulting Services. However, this spotlight encouraged these companies to expand in a specific and narrow way to meet the immediate need. The Y2K problem did not call for pure programming talent, he explained. We were able to adopt a factory assembly line approach towards correcting the legacy Y2K problems. They developed a set of tools that allowed their staff to quickly identify the fields that needed to be converted, he said, a process that would have taken the naked eye much longer. In our correspondence, Maya confirmed that she and her peers lived with the legacy of these software factories. Most of my friends from college joined service-based companies, she explained. Once they had found these jobs, they quickly started looking for jobs in what she called product-based industries, firms like Microsoft, Amazon, startups like Freshdesk, and other Indian startups. She argued that these companies gave the workers more control over their schedule, their tasks, and even over their wardrobe. In her email, Maya was asking for advice. She enjoyed a certain subfield of computing, but worried that she might not be able to find employment in it. She was right to be concerned. We pretend that far too many computing courses can lead to full employment when we know that there's not a big market for electronic game designers or autonomous drone programmers or other specialized skills. Yet, we are still blessed for the moment with the knowledge that most of the skills we teach are transferable. Learning one field will not preclude you from practicing another. One specialty may even give you a unique insight into another field of application. Ultimately, any advice I could have offered was less important than the action Maya took to contact me. If you are a professional, you live in a community. You give what you are able to that community, and in return, you ask that community for its ideas, for its support, for its guidance. Maya felt all too much the distance between her branch of the community in India and the more established branches in North America and Europe. She noted that she and her peers often lacked access to modern equipment, that her teachers were too often learning the material as they taught it, and that the costs of belonging to a professional society and participating in that professional society were very high. Yet she did what a professional does. With great courage, she reached out to a member of her community and asked for help. We must listen and support. That is what we must do to support the global profession of computing. This is David Alan Greer. Take care.